Welcome to Racket Fuel, where we launch into great conversations and share powerful tools to help you become a stronger rackets leader. Your hosts are Kim Bastable, a former All-American tennis player and now the Director of Tennis Management at the University of Florida, and Simon Gale, the USTA Senior Director of Racket Sports Development. Today on Racket Fuel, as Omar Trevino's lesson clientele grew, overwhelming the availability of the public courts he was using in the North Dallas area, he felt inspired to build a club. And that's no easy project, as he will attest. But this spring, after more than 5 years of ups and downs, he and his wife, Alejandra Suarez, opened beautiful North Texas Racket Club in Frisco, Texas, including tennis, pickleball, and padel. Their story and perseverance is inspiring. Now, here's Kim and Simon.
Welcome to Racket Fuel. I'm Kim Bastable. I'm here with my co-host, Simon Gale. Simon, we both know opening a brand new club isn't happening that much recently. Many are adding different court types, but not entire new clubs. So it's so exciting today to hear about a new build.
Well, Kim, as you know, prior to working at the USTA, I was managing partner at a club, but we took over an existing club. So a new build is something I'm not entirely familiar with, but I know it's a big step and I'm excited to hear Omar and Ali's story today. And I think it's inspirational for others to consider this step as a possibility in their career.
So we welcome you, Omar and Ali. Omar, thank you first. Let you have a few words. You are kind of the instigator of this idea.
Thank you, Kim and Simon. Thank you for having us here. And, you know, we're very excited to share our story with you guys and with everybody else.
Ali, you are the strong supporting role, so we welcome you to be here to tell your story.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm kind of like on the back end of this, right? Like just observing and watching and helping as I can, learning this new gig here.
Well, to start, we are more than excited that as of this recording, literally the doors have opened in the last few days of North Texas Racket Club. So we need to hear just a little bit about, you know, what is the overview of the facility, Omar? What did you build? What did you start?
Yes, of course. So we are we're located in Frisco, in the Sports Village in here next to downtown Frisco. On our club, we have 7 tennis courts, we have 6 pickleball courts, and 4 padel courts. We are finishing the last stage of the padel courts, which is just putting the turf down, which should be done this weekend, and we should start fully open next week. We have the tennis academy running, and the tennis and the pickleball is you know, we're welcoming everybody to start coming out. We also have a gazebo pending where we're gonna have food and drinks for our customers. So that's really exciting as well. I think that's going to take us for maybe another month to get that, but that should not be on the way to start.
That is great. I mean, we are so excited for the future of this. Ali, you and I met at the padel court. Been so much fun playing with you, actually both of you. I have to say that the times playing with Omar, I feel so supported. Again, we kind of take it to Ali and your son. I mean, those are some fun matches. But I just was so impressed when I realized the venture that you guys have been on. And you're the one who watched Omar, who has just, you know, developed as a tennis pro, developing this program in North Texas. And you know, you realized that this was something that needed to happen, that Omar was sort of had a passion that was just coming to fruition over the years. Tell us a little bit about watching that develop.
Well, I've known Omar for 29 years. We've been married 27 years, and I met him on the tennis court. So when I played tennis for the first time, I said, the day I played with that guy, I can tell I play tennis, right? So I always knew that tennis wasn't his passion, but he worked in Mexico and, you know, for corporate Mexico. And then we moved to the United States with corporate America. Our kids were involved in sports and everything. When we moved to the U.S., I encouraged Pablo to take baseball. You know, you do what's in your country, right? In the country that you live. And then we invited some friends and they went to play tennis. And that's when I saw Omar like going like, wait, is he going to play tennis? And it sparked something in him. So Pablo started taking lessons and Omar got involved in saying, you know what, why am I paying this money for other coaches if I can do it myself and I enjoy it? So he had a full-time job. And then in the afternoons, he would play with Pablo, right? And teach him and stuff. And then it started to grow just with Pablo's friends. He started having like a mini family friends academy. And I was like, okay, this is big. And I know he always dreamed about having a tennis club. It was like, can you imagine Ali one day having this? So I was hesitant when actually recession in Spain hit in 2011 and he got too expensive for the company here in the US. So he got laid off and he said, this is it. I'm going to do it. And I was like, wait, what? We have two teenagers. You're going to start from scratch right now? So I was nervous at the time. And I was really like not understanding why was he on the court from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. learning everything and trying everything. And when he could work for, you know, whatever company, he has a career. He has, you know, I was like, how hard is this? And it came little by little, it started to come a reality. And then I saw him 5 years in the making, right? Like putting all the pieces together, creating his academy, like detail and detail, day and night, every single day with a smile. I was like, how is this possible? Like you're coming home exhausted from tennis, teaching these kids, and then you're still happy. It was just, it's just, I take my hat off.
Well, Omar is, people can't see because we're not on video when this goes out to listeners, but I can see why, as Ali tells the story, it almost looks like you're a little emotional. I mean, this is a huge moment in your journey to go from the corporate world and then transitioning to teaching full time and then how this has evolved. So I'm sure opening the doors just in the last couple of days has been a very emotional experience for you. But what would you say, in addition to the emotions going on, what have you learned as you've transitioned to becoming a club owner? What did you learn in the business world that's kind of helped you get to this stage of opening the doors?
You know, from my early stages in my career, I always I was very lucky to be involved in the companies I worked at. You know, to be in all the departments in finance, marketing, sales. I think that was really a different view for many people that just, you know, they're either in marketing or sales, only one part of a company. I think being involved in different, in well, in not in different, but many areas of all the companies, you know, you start seeing the different views. Why is marketing important? Why is sales important? Why is everything important for a company to be successful? So I was very lucky to have that, right? I think the most important thing about the companies is the service that you provide, right? When you say I'm gonna jump tomorrow, you better be jumping, right? People expect that, and I think that's one of the things that made us successful in, you know, in getting this journey going. I think that's very important that I can see that help you get into this stage that we are on right now.
And one of the things that I think I've learned over the years is, like, the corporate world can be very structured and has a lot of layers of leadership and HR departments and so on. The tennis world tends to be, as owner or director, you wear a lot of hats. I know I was sweeping courts and changing light bulbs and doing whatever it took when I owned a club to keep the doors open, and you stress about making payroll for the first couple of years and all those things that go on. But you wear a lot of hats. We tend not to have that additional structure around us. With that in mind, how do you make all that work as you start this opening of a club, wearing all these hats and making it? The corporate world's helped, but you don't necessarily have that help. It's the two of you and some others maybe helping here and there, but it takes time to build this business to a point where you can afford those people. So talk about that transition to all the hats you now wear.
You know, whenever you're being on the other side of, you know, being a member or playing, you see the things that, okay, I wish I had this, or I don't like this, or whatever comes to your mind. So once you're on the other side, you're like, you want everything to be perfect. And if you don't have somebody to blow the courts because there's trash, well, you get out there and you do it, right? There's no, you know, I won't do it and deal with it. No, you get out there, and if it's 7 in the morning or 10 at night, it's got to be done, and you have to get the hat on and do it, you know? I think, like I said before, the experience that you provide for the people that are going to be coming, that's what's going to make the difference to be successful or not.
And so what you currently have, as I understand it, is you have contracts with cities in North Dallas and have been working on public courts. And so in order to get the bank to loan you this money, I'm sure you've had to build your program to a point where they would okay this type of loan. What are some of the challenges you've had to overcome in order to get to that point where you could sign off on a loan to open this club?
Yes, of course. You know, you always have a big dream. You may put it in writing and make a great presentation, which I did, right? And I came to the bank and I said, okay, guys, look at this. This is great. I did my marketing research, in the area. It's going to be great. And they're like, okay, so tell me, where are your sales? I'm like, well, no, I work here at a club and an academy, and, you know, this is going to be great. And they're like, well, it looks great, but as soon as I have some numbers that you can show me, you won't get $1. So they were like, okay, I recommend you to go start your business, get it going, and, you know, when you have a couple of years in, come back. And so I said, okay, no problem. That's exactly what I did. I went out to the public courts here in Frisco. I got secured some courts, and we started the program, the academy. And after a couple of years, I went back and I said, okay, here I'm back. Here's my numbers. How does it look? Can I get a loan? And they're like, hey, great. Let's do it. So, you know, it's just about getting out there and doing what you want to do. You know, there's no going around it.
That's the work ethic that I would say some people do not have anymore. You are out there doing it, starting with nothing, building it onto the public courts. So how many people do you have working as a staff? Like how many kids, adults, what's the type, like on the public courts that you'll be able to take with you to North Texas Racquet Club? How many people already are part of your program?
Oof. You know, we are right now we're managing all the Frisco courts from the ISD and the city, which are 120 courts. So we have a staff of maybe between 25 and 30 people, between coaches and an office staff around. Here at the club, you know, as we grow, we don't know if everybody from the academy, because we went from having 150 students to 500 students. So now, you know, they have a choice of coming to the club, to the academy, which is not the same price because it's a private facility. You know, it has its perks. So, you know, they'll have a choice. I think that the people that are the kids that are serious about their tennis, they're going to follow us here. And the ones that are just one more class to do something in the afternoon, they'll probably stay at the public courts.
So you still maintain those contracts with the city and are still, so you're managing your facility plus many other 100 plus courts. Okay. All right. Allie, you left a successful career in education. You were a high school department head and a teacher, and you are now in the role of being I don't even know. What's your exact title? Do you have an exact title?
That's a great question, Kim, because yes, I do have a title, but what I've learned sharing my life with Omar is we've always worn many hats, right? So I am it sounds a little fancy. It sounds PR and membership director, but it's also whatever, right? Like whatever happens, whatever needs to be done, if there's a need to run and get something for maintenance from Home Depot, like anything, right? Yes, I transitioned from a very, very successful career and so fulfilling. I was a dean as well, dean of students, and learning this new gig is something, because I'm not very good at making mistakes, and I've made mistakes. I created the website and I wrote the website, and there's been changes in the website, and I started trying to enroll people, and I, of course, enrolled instead of putting the student in the academy. Why not? I put the parent enrolled in the academy, right? So it's like, oh, great. Now, how do I change that, right? Because when the student shows up, I'm like, oh, you're not in my system. And I'm like, oh, wait, your mom is, and your mom's not playing. So you're fine. You're good. So learning this new set of skills has been challenging. And Kim, I got to share a secret here. This morning, I told Omar, when are we going to breathe? And he smiled at me and he's like, we're breathing. And I just go like, okay, I'm disarmed here. Like, it's like, okay. Like, if that doesn't speak for what this is, I don't know what else does, to be honest.
Yeah. 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 You guys are living a bit of the American dream, I guess I could say. For me, who might be the only one on this podcast that actually grew up and was born in America, now that I think about it. It's fabulous for me to feel that you guys have been able to come to America and do this dream and fulfill it. And I couldn't be more, enthused to be able to be close down there. I do live in Dallas some, and I'm excited to be able to be up there and cheerlead you guys. But you gave some great examples of some challenges. I'd love to hear more. Like, the fact that you had to just sort of make some mistakes and bumble through it, sure, that doesn't feel great, but it's part of everybody's learning curve. And I think a few of us on the tennis court might be perfectionists. What are some other things, and maybe both of you could share some challenges that you've just faced that you thought, wow, I didn't see that one coming.
Wow. Go ahead, Omar, please.
I think one of the challenges was, or a big challenge was during the building building the facility. There were a lot of requirements from the city that I think if I knew all these requirements in advance would have helped us a lot. Just like an example, the city, the council, they meet once a month. And if you want to change anything on your project, or you decide, okay, I don't like this, I want to do something else, well, you can't just go and show up and do it and keep working tomorrow. You got to work a whole month. You got to wait a whole month for them to see it, approve it, and then you can keep going. So just, I think knowing all these things that you don't know, right? I think would make it so much smoother. Once we partnered with the city and learned all this information, and during the process, everything worked out better. But I think that was one of the challenges, that it was rough.
You weren't expecting. Yeah. How about you, Ali? Anything?
I agree with Omar. And one of the things that we learned in the process is, we, of course, wanted to make state-of-the-art facilities, right? We wanted the best of the best courts. So our courts are post-tension. I mean, it's just incredible. I didn't know that it takes so long to just build a flat concrete thing. Like, I was like, what is this? Why we broke ground March 26, 2023. Today is February 21st, 2024, right? And we're like about to finish. One of the things that we learned is we made post-tension everywhere. Well, guess what? The padel is kind of new in the US and growing and booming, right? But the surface, we made post-tension. And in order for the walls to go up, they have to drill the concrete. And if they drill the concrete and hit one of those post-tensions, you and I don't want to know what happens, right? Because that platform probably goes like, right? And we were not ready for that. So we had to hire a company to scan the concrete and make sure that the courts, whenever they were going to drill the holes, were not going to hit those like post-tensions. So that also set us a little bit back, right? Because they had to do extra work, right? And they had to make adjustments to the court, to moving the courts a little bit and putting like the lights up and making holes again on the concrete where there's no like wire there. So that was a big learn for us. Like, if anybody wants to do like padel courts here, please do them, but do not do post tension. You'll save yourself scanning after the concrete is set there.
So that's pretty fascinating, but I think you do need post tension in some parts of the country, but maybe you didn't need them down. I don't know.
I don't know.
You guys will be consulting soon as well. You'll be telling clubs how to build as well. So you'll have a separate consulting business in addition to your club. But I think when you listen to you guys' story, and I love how you kind of play off each other. Ali's wound up and it's stressful right now and we're getting open and Omar's telling you that we are breathing. Like, it seems that that balance is working well for you guys. But you can hear in your story the vision and determination. So, you know, that alone is going to make you guys successful. There's just such a great story. But what I really hope is that you're able to invest in some marketing to tell your story, because you have all your local people who follow you, and that's going to help you open the doors and create traffic. But just your story alone is inspirational. And I think that separates you as club owners as well. People want to connect to your story, and it's a reason to come because they want to meet you. So I hope you get to tell that story, somehow capture it, because it's an amazing aspect of your club. So find a way to get that up on a wall or something so that people know your story. I'm going to transition a little bit into leadership. And I know when I was teaching full-time and then transitioned to being an owner as well, that going on the court was an escape from all the other stuff that I was dealing with, right? So it took you away from all the other stuff. But still, when I was on the court, I was looking at the lights and that bulb needed to be changed, or this bit of insulation was hanging out from the corner. There was always something as an owner that I was looking at that I never looked at when I was a teaching pro. I didn't care about that stuff. So as you transition into ownership, how do you envision your daily work schedule changing? Are you going to teach less? Are you going to employ people to worry about those things? How do you see that transition happening?
You know, I think it's very important, and I think all successful companies and businesses is done by the people you have. So I think I've been building a great team to help me out. I love being on the court, and I'm going to be on the court as long as I can. But at the same time, you know, you have to have the time to manage and do whatever it has to be done. And I think, you know, having the right people with you on board is what's going to make a difference. I think at some point, yes, I'm going to try to stay off the court a little bit, but I'm always going to be involved in the academy and on the court and you know. It's, you know, the process. It's one of those things that when you love it, it's hard to stay away, right? But yeah, I think the people that you have next to you, makes a big difference.
Well, and if you're a smart owner, you surround yourself with people that are good at those things, right? And if you've built your you've built your business as you being the face of the on-court delivery, you know, if that changed dramatically, you know, that could impact your business a lot. So I it sounds like that's a smart move. And if you've got smart people like Ali around you, then you you're able to make this transition. But it sounds like you've done a great job of surrounding yourself with good people, and the court is your happy place. Then that's probably the best thing for your business too, I would think.
Yes. And I also, you know, one thing that I really try to do is all the coaches that come along and help me is I try to teach them exactly what I like and the way I like it, as far as technique, of the process of, you know, the teaching of the kids, what the process should be for them to get to where they need to get. And I think once they know that, you can go on vacation and close your eyes and you know that nothing's going to be different than what you'd like to be done, right? So I think that's a very important part of what we do, that or what I do, is that, you know, people know exactly what I want and what I like, and I don't want them to do it different, because I know that it's worked for me like this for many years. don't come and change it. I mean, maybe it's not the best way. It's my way and it works for me. And I think that's important, right?
Just to add a parenthesis there, if you look at the kids in the academy, we have an inside joke that we call it the Trevino forehand. Because when you see the kids play, you're like, ooh, that's a Trevino forehand. And it doesn't matter if it's a 6-year-old or a 17-year-old. I'm like, how in the world are they doing the same forehand? It's the same motion. So it's so fulfilling to see that. I actually witnessed yesterday was the first day of the academy. And Omar, with everything that we had, like you said, Simon, it was his happy place. And the first six-year-old that started hitting the ball, I was like, yep. We have a Trevino forehand in the house.
Oh, so,
it's so sweet.
I just asked one more question. As Kim said, she's the only, I believe, natural-born American on the podcast today. So I just wanted to ask this question because I'm not very good at stopping and reflecting. I'm always looking at what's ahead. But once in a while you do. And so for you guys, what would you say you're most proud of? When you look at your transition to getting to this point in your career, is there something that you could summarize to say, you know, I'm very proud of this in order to have gotten here? Explain how that feels, because I know this is a huge moment in your lives. And if you haven't stopped and looked back, I'm going to take 10 seconds and ask you to think about it.
I think the most important thing is that, and I'm going to say this for all our audience, is that, you know, when you have a dream, you just got to go and get it. I mean, there's nobody's going to give it to you. It's not going to show up. You got to do it. And I wish I would have started this before. You know, you just got to work for it.
I completely agree with Omar. The part that I'm most proud of is that he stuck to his dream, even when the odds were against us, right? And there were rough times and hard times. But we knew, talking about the American dream, Kim, it was always a dream of mine to be able to raise my kids here, because I've always thought of this place of being the place that if you work really hard for what you want, you're going to get it. And everybody has that opportunity. And we're grateful for this country, for whatever it gave us. It gave us more than I could ever imagine, right? And the beauty of this is a business that gives back to the community as well, right? So involving both in one world is just a way of life. So I agree with Omar. And as hard as it was at some point where I was like, really, don't do this, this is crazy. I wish he would have started this earlier, because seeing him and seeing our kids and seeing everything that involves in this and everybody that's around Omar and OT Tennis Academy, and now at North Texas Racquet Club, it's just a dream. It is. And I have nothing but just, I'm in awe for what this country has given us, to be honest, because we've worked hard and we're seeing it.
This gives me chills, honestly. I think probably the person I know who is happiest to be an American is you. And I love that. I think we all take for granted what we have. And I love that your story inspires us to say, look, this is, you know, an awesome, awesome business that we are in. And yeah, it's hard and it's gotten challenging and lots of things happen, but you guys have persevered. So I guess we kind of get to the end here to say, just tell us, you know, what's that one thing? I think you've mentioned a few that, you know, you wish you'd known ahead of time, but for people who are thinking about this dream or, you know, believing that maybe it's for them, or maybe they want to double the size of their club or take some risk out in the rackets industry, what could you offer for them that is something that, you know, you would provide as advice? And it could be anything from facilities to, you know, high level leadership ideas. What I mean, anything.
Again, I think, you know, you may have all the desire, you may have all the everything in your mind, but if you just keep it there and don't go for it, it's not going to help anybody. You know, you just got to take that risk and get out there and do it. And if you fail or it doesn't work for you, it's usually because you didn't love it. You didn't want it enough, right? Bad enough. So I think is if you want something and you have it, just go for it. Don't wait for nothing. Just do it.
Well, and I think for you, Omar, we'll get to you in a minute. I just want to pick that apart. Like, Can you give us an example of something that was this major roadblock that you just had to find your way through? Because I know you've had multiple, but I think that's what you're saying is that, sure, there's roadblocks. There's things that set you back and you could choose to quit or you could choose to move through.
You know, at some point I was in the process of, okay, you know what, I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to go. And I was going to start teaching at TBRM. And I was really close to go join them. And then I said, you know what? What am I going to lose? If I don't just go out there and do it, hey, in 2 months, I can come back and knock on the door at T-Bar nor any other club, and I'll just do what I was going to do. But you'll never know if you don't try, right? So I think that moment of saying, you know, I'm not going to wait for them to say, oh, yes, you're hired, right? Which I was in that position. And then I said, Ali, you know what? I'm not going to wait. I'm just going to go for it, and we'll see what happens.
It's great.
And here we are.
Yeah. All right, Ali, what's your inspiration?
I think adding to that, Kim, is like Omar mentioned, right? The people you surround yourself with, the people around you and the people that are not around you, right? What you learn from others, how you build your team and not your team, right? I think one of the things that has been the most positive is staying positive, right? Believing in it and doing the work and striving away from everybody that tells you, no, you can't do this. No, I'm not going to invest because you know what? It's not safe. I'm not gaining a lot. So for me, like I call it a no drama, right? Like it's, if you can bring that, because it's a joyful place, right? Playing tennis and being there and seeing Omar's, like how we, every Christmas, right, we hear the same stories from when they were young and they played at the academy and they hit this ball and the mom said something, and right, so it brings people together. And I think staying positive through even through the hard times makes it.
That's good advice. Simon, what are your takeaways from this story?
Geez, there's a lot. I tell you, I think one thing you guys didn't talk about, which I'm sure it's just an oversight because I know you would say it in a heartbeat, is the importance of having a great partner in your life. Because clearly the stories you've told, the two of you have gone through this journey. There's been moments where you've needed each other. And I think it sounds like that's been a really important part of this, as much as overcoming other hurdles, is the importance of having that partner who helps you get through it. But when I look at my own journey, I just think this is very relatable, leaving Australia and family and friends to pursue a dream. And you sacrifice a lot that you don't even realize. Maybe it happens a little later, you realize how much you may have left behind in your home country. But your desire and passion, you know, it's just I think it's inspirational, and it's a reminder of kind of what hard work and determination can result in. So I think it's a tremendous story. And as I said, you guys have got to tell this story over and over. And I think people will come and support your facility more than they already do. So I appreciate you guys sharing. It's a great, great story.
Thank you, guys. Yes, as you mentioned, it's the support of the family. It has to be there, you know?
Yeah. And we feel it, right? We feel it even from afar, right? Like, they're all like, when's the opening? We want to come to the grand opening. And we're planning on doing a grand opening a little later when the weather is better and everybody can enjoy more time out there. But we really want to thank you, Kim and Simon, because giving us this opportunity to start sharing our story and for what it helps to others to hear us and come. And our doors are open, right? Like, and there's nothing but honesty in what we do, and we'll tell it as it is, right? Like what we think and what we've learned. And hopefully help somebody and say, hey, before you do this, like, remember, you have to take this step, right? So thank you, guys. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. We wish you the very best. We're excited. We may just revisit you in 6 months or a year and say, how's it perfect. Going? Because I think you'll have another set of stories. We're excited.
Perfect. Very perfect. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Simon. Thank you for having us.
Thanks, you guys. Appreciate it.
That's all for today. We'll see you all again on another edition of Racket Fuel.
That's all for today, but we're not out of fuel. You can find more information and resources in our show notes and by visiting racketfuelpodcast.com. If you liked what you just heard, please subscribe and also leave a review, which helps other people join the mission to become stronger rackets leaders.
This podcast is a production of Athlete Plus, the people, stories, and science behind elite athletes and teams. Athlete Plus is the official podcast network of the Institute for Coaching Excellence, a research, education, and outreach center in the College of Health and Human Performance at the University of Florida. The Institute for Coaching Excellence offers various online certificate programs and degrees in partnership with the Department of Sport Management. Learn more today at coaching.hhp.ufl.edu.